I would like to read you a story, if I could. It's in Luke chapter 19. It's a short story, but it's a powerful one. And I believe that it will help us understand the meaning behind Christmas. Because here's the thing, we have a tendency of focusing on the circumstances of Christmas. Yes, there was a virgin birth. Yes, he was born under dire circumstances. Yes, there was no room in the inn. Yes, wise men came seeking after him to give him gifts. Yes, the enemy tried to destroy him. We know all of these things. But why? Why did he come? What was the purpose behind his coming? We know that he's always existed. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. He was always there, and in a moment, Father said, now. And he came, and there had to have been a purpose, and I want you to see that this morning in an unlikely Christmas story, Luke chapter 19, verse 1. He entered Jericho, and passing through, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on the account of the crowd, he could not because he was of small stature. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore fig tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Now, if you grew up in church, there is certainly a song that is reverberating in the back of your mind right now. We're not going to sing it together. Verse 5, that's Aaron's job, but it's not mine. I talk, he sings, so we'll keep going. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And so he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw that that they were together, they all grumbled, for he has gone, Jesus has gone, to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, help us today to understand the true meaning of Christmas, the true reason why you came. We celebrate it now, and I pray, God, that we would understand it always, that it wouldn't be just something that we get geared up for during a season, but that we passionately devote our lives to knowing you, to walking with you, and to revealing to a lost and dying world that you came, why you came, and the purpose that you have for each and every one of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That, my friends, is the meaning of Christmas. That is what all of this is all about. That he came, that God robed himself in the flesh and came to tabernacle amongst us so that he could walk with us, ultimately revealing to us a life that we ought to live but cannot, empowered by the Holy Spirit, died a death that we deserve, so that all who trust in him might have access to the Father, not only now but throughout all eternity. But the thing that I want you to understand about this story today, and I hope that it helps as we walk through this season, as we look forward to a new year, the way that we walk and look at each other and love one another that we come in contact with, is that in this story, Jesus is surrounded by two types of people. Now, if you have your sheet, you have on the back your notes, Luke 19, it's just one little passage today, but you've got some blanks that you could fill in as we go along. This is the first one. Jesus surrounded by two types of people. On one hand, you've got people in this story that are known for breaking the rules. They've earned a reputation as sinners. They're like Zacchaeus, a tax collector. He worked for the Roman Empire, which meant that he collected taxes from the Jews. But he didn't just collect taxes from the Jews, he took their money. Tax collectors were notorious for taking extra so that they could put it into their pocket for themselves. They had an amount that they were required to bring to the Roman Empire, and whatever they collected beyond that number was theirs to keep. And clearly, somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus had done not only people wrong, but he made a profit at doing people wrong. And it wasn't just him, it was those that were like him. They were breaking rules. They were doing it even if it hurt others for a personal gain for themselves. They didn't care what others thought. They wanted to enjoy what they had. They wanted to enjoy this life, and they were going to advance themselves no matter what it meant to those around them. But then there's another group. The other group in this story are people who love to follow the rules. Now, if you've ever been to my house, I have two children. I have one in each category. I got a rule follower. She, even if she thinks she's done wrong, her heart just breaks, and she'll do everything she can to follow rules. I got another one that thinks rule is a four-letter word. And she doesn't want them, and she doesn't care what you think the rules ought to be. She doesn't follow them. She goes and lives by the beat of her own drum, and she does whatever it is that makes her happy. And we know these people. The rule followers are those that there's leaders, religious leaders, and at this point they've kind of switched gears and they're following Jesus. But the type of people that we're talking about, they're the kind of people that want to do everything right to a T. They want to have everything in order. They want everybody to be happy. They want to follow rules. Sometimes even to a fault where they look down on people that don't follow rules. They look down on sinners, but they look up to themselves and the rules that they follow. And the thing that's interesting is that every single one of us in this room land in one of those two categories. We have a tendency of leaning towards one of these two groups. There are some of us in the room that love to break the rules. We love to indulge ourselves in the way of the world at times, and people have been hurt in the process. We want pleasure, and we want to enjoy the world and everything that it has to offer. These type of people have a tendency of looking down on people that do follow the rules, or maybe even feel sorry for them, that they're totally missing out on everything that this life has to offer. And so you've got that group. But then there's another group. That we do our best to keep the rules. We follow the law, even sometimes religiously, the best that we can. We do everything we can to live a good and nice and decent life. And sometimes we have a tendency in this group to look down on those that are in this group. Maybe even saying things like, well, they're the problem with society. If they were just like me, everything would be all right. No, if they were just like me, life would be very, very boring. But both groups exist. We fall into one of those two groups, and at times we have looked down on the person in the other group. But the point of Christmas and the point of Luke chapter 19, the point of this story, it's the third point on your notes, is that both groups are lost. Both groups are lost. People that follow the rules and the people that break the rules. Both are lost. People that live according to their own rules or people that do their best to follow the rules that have been set before them. Both are lost. And now I know that you don't like, and I don't like, to think of ourselves as lost. But it's actually not a bad thing. Because when you add the other piece to the equation, and I'm lost. So the God of the universe, in my lostness, sought after me. The God of the universe said to me, and he said to you, I have come to seek you. I've come to save you, to be near you, to be with you. The exact same way that he's walking down that path that day, and he stops and he fixes his attention upon Zacchaeus. And not only does he fix his attention upon him, but he calls him by name. Zacchaeus, get down here. Come hang out with me. I'm going to your house. Let's go. Come on. The same way that Jesus did that for Zacchaeus, we have a God that says to his people, to each and every one of you, I have called you by name. You're mine. I've come to seek you and to save you, to call you out and to be with you. To save me from what? To save me from my lostness. To save me from trying to find my own way. Because hear me, we've all been through enough in this life that we know that never works out. I mean, we have grand plans, but God has better. There is a way that is right in our eyes at times, but God knows the way that we ought to go. The meaning of Christmas is that when we were lost and in the dark, God did not choose to leave you alone there. Didn't say there wasn't going to be dark. Just said he didn't leave you there. Didn't leave you there by yourself. He didn't want you to have to go through it all alone. He said, I'm going to come down. And I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to come and call you by name and be there with you through it. You see, I've spent some time over the last couple of weeks reflecting on 2017. And it's been the worst and the best year of my life. Figure that out. Like, that's the God we serve. Like, this paradigm that we're in. But in the darkness of our struggles, and I know that many of you have been in struggles this year, financial struggles, losing jobs, looking for jobs, family struggles. And the reminder that we receive at Christmas is that God has not left us alone in the darkness. Families all across not only this room but throughout our lives that have experienced unexpected diagnosis this year, unexpected physical trials, unexpected pain. And the good news of Christmas is that God has not left us in our suffering alone. Sorrow. We've all experienced loss this year. For me, it was 6 grandparents for Kendra and I. We woke up at the beginning of 2017 with 8. We have 2. Dear friend, Lois, Janet, Susie Smith, former youth, Tyler. Great loss, but it's good to know that in the darkness of our sorrow, the point of Christmas, the message that we have is that God has not left us alone in the darkness of our sorrow. And ultimately, the darkness of sin. That in our lives, we have found ourselves in the depths of our sin. That there have been moments where the flesh has prevailed and we've sought after to gratify that thing that which is eagerly trying to destroy us. And even when we find ourselves in the depths of our sin, God on high became a man and came to be with us so that we could find our way, not leaving us alone. That, my friends, is not only the message of Christmas, but that is Christianity. A story is told about a group of men standing around a mountain trying to get up to the pinnacle of the mountain where God is. And they're all through their works and through their philosophy and through their lives trying to figure out, how do I ascend this hill to get to this God that rests on top? One man comes into the scene and he says, y'all are trying to get to the mountain to get to God. And they said, yes. And I said, well, let me tell you about Christianity. Christianity says that the God on that mountain came down to be with us. Not just expecting us to climb the mountain, but he came to empower us and to be with us while we ascended up that mountain. In the depths of our sorrow that comes in this life, in the depths of our struggles that comes in this life, in the depths of our sin, he came as the way so that all who trust in him will be delivered from their sin, from their lostness, and from that darkness, so that we might be found in him now, today, and for all eternity. So the good news of Christmas is that you're not alone. That in those moments, that in those seasons, that in those years, he has come to be with you. Sometimes he pulls us out right away. Sometimes not. But the point is, he sought you and he found you. And he called you out so that you wouldn't be left there without hope and without the way. That is Christmas. And there's no greater truth, and it's what we celebrate at Christmas. Worship team, would you come? Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for a man like Zacchaeus that was looking in all kinds of ways, through finances, through self-gratification, but he was looking, and I'm thankful that he found you. The source of all happiness, the source of all joy, the source of true life. And Lord, for us today, as we sit here, eager for what tomorrow's going to bring with our friends and family, excited about the time that we have off to rest. But Lord, in the midst of all of it, I pray that we would find you. The way. It doesn't matter if we're rule breakers or rule followers. We're all lost. We're all in need of a Savior. And I pray, God, And instead of looking down on the other group, that we would find ourselves looking up to you. I'm not saying we're thankful that we're not like those other people, but saying, here we are, God, we're a mess. We need you. Thank you for finding us in our lostness. Thank you for seeking us, for opening blind eyes and replacing hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. Thank you for being the way. Lord, I pray that if we're in darkness right now, Lord, many of my loved ones are, they would know that they're not alone. That you have come to be with them. Truly, this is what Christmas is about. We love you and we thank you that you saw fit to not only tabernacle amongst us, but now one of the greatest gifts of all is that you dwell inside of us. Let us praise you for all that you are worth. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's sing one more time.